broadcasting and streaming worldwide from the Golf Club Studios, it's the Golf Club Radio Show with Danielle Tucker.
Hi, Danielle. It's Ben Crenshaw.
Hey, Ben Crenshaw. The only 94 days until the Tournament of Champions on the beautiful Plantation course. Let's see. On Maui, we're going to have... well, mostly sunny skies, some scattered showers in the afternoon. The high, about 90. The winds are easterly, 5 to 15 miles per hour. Mostly sunny in the morning on Kauai, and then isolated showers and possibly heavy rain and a slight chance of thunderstorms. On the Big Island, it's simply mostly sunny. You've got the trades, 5 to 15 to 20 at times. We've got easterlies 10 to 20. Fortunately, the winds are back, but it is still super humid. I've got a really good show coming up for you. Michael Patrick Shields is back in the clubhouse, our travel guru extraordinaire. He hung out with Jack Nicklaus just a couple of days ago. Jack slipped a green jacket on him. Russ Holden is the program CEO and founder of Caddy for a Cure. Kevin Markham is calling in from Ireland, golf writer and golf course photographer and author, Hooked and Driving the Green. And David McClay Kidd, golf course designer, DMK Golf Design. If you want to follow along, look at the pictures while we're talking. It's DMKGolfDesign.com. We'll be back with David McClay Kidd after this.
The Golf Club, brought to you by Aloha Power Equipment. Two great locations, Sand Island and Waipahu, for all of your power equipment, life-saving generators, lawnmowers, weed whackers, and more. Aloha Power Equipment. We put power in your fingertips. Aloha Power Equipment. Futura Stone. Turn your home project, your paving project, your warehouse flooring into artwork. Specializing in natural stones like Brazilian quartzite, Aquapite on-site stormwater source control systems, interlocking concrete pavers, and now polished colored concrete floors. Futura Stone, only the best. And Creative Plumbing. Starting a new project from the ground up, taking on a complete renovation, replacing your high-rise wastewater system, custom home, townhouse, high-rise, warehouse, or shopping center. Call Creative Plumbing, because it's got to be done right. Creative Plumbing. And now, Danielle Tucker.
So, born and raised in Scotland, son of a golf courier life, not just any golf, but the oldest and the finest. As a child, David witnessed the passion of his father, Jimmy Kidd. His father had a passion for the game and the courses. His dad, one of the first to manage courses with environmental sensitivity. And young David worked on his father's courses, raking bunkers, mowing greens, helping with renovation works, and listening to his dad talking with his peers about the courses they worked. And that included 25 years Father Jimmy Kidd spent at Glen Eagles as superintendent of golf in Scotland. Welcome into the clubhouse, David McClay Kidd.
Thank you very much, Danielle. It's a pleasure to be here. I wish I was in Hawaii rather than in Oregon, where we wake up every morning to smoke. And now you don't have any more active volcanoes. You don't have any smoke either.
No, we don't. You're absolutely right. We don't have the fog coming at us when it's, you know, when we have no wind. We used to be blanketed with a what looked like smog, but it was just that volcanic gas.
Yeah.
Yeah, but so after being raised in such an amazing, you were hooked on golf. What did you do after being with your dad when you got to that age when you make a decision about college or going to other schools?
You know, I spent my childhood raking bunkers. I think that's what I did for the first 12 years of my life, was just rake bunkers. And then I graduated to, you know, running a pedestrian machine, and then from there to a ride-on machine. And I loved working on the golf courses, but I always thought there might be something else in store, because my dad had done that for, you know, 40 years. So when we did the winter renovation project, rebuilding greens and bunkers and tees, and my dad would go hunt out old maps from 100 years ago and try and, you know, dig through the trees and say, look, there's a bunker here. And we would chop down some trees and renovate a bunker that had been lost for generations. And I thought, this is so cool. It's like archaeology meets golf.
Yes.
So I just was enthralled with all that. I thought it was so cool. So I went to university outside London. I studied horticulture. And in my intern year, my father was good friends with Jack Nicklaus and his number two, Ron Kirby. And Jack and Ron decided to send me to a golf course they were doing in the middle of England. So I spent my intern year working on a big construction project. And then I really loved that. I thought that was, you know, giant yellow equipment and excavators and bulldozers and trenchers and lots of noise and the creativity. You know, the bunker would be on the left side of the fairway one day, and then the designers would come in and everything would change. And wow. I thought, this is really exciting. So that led me into the construction / design world. And my father had spent his life enthused by old books and the history of golf. So it all kind of came together that's what I wanted to do. I wanted to take the ideas I had about golf and what I'd learned and apply them in the real world.
Amazing. Okay, and so now at the age of 27, Abandoned Dunes, Mike Kaiser comes to you and says, hey, I'd like you to build a Scottish-style links on Bandon Dune in Oregon on these beautiful cliffs.
Kind of wild, isn't it?
Yeah, is that a miracle or what?
Yeah, I think that was kind of wild. You know, it seems so unbelievable, but if you dig in a little deeper, it might not sound quite so crazy, because Mike Kaiser wasn't asking me to build a Scottish Links style golf course on cliffs in Oregon. I didn't know anything other than Scottish Links golf course. That's all I'd ever been around. So he was just asking me to do what I knew, the only thing I knew. If he'd have asked me to build a golf course like Augusta National, I would have been utterly lost. But to build a simple links course across beautiful links land, not that hard. You know, it was something I'd seen and been around my whole life. So I wasn't doing anything that didn't come somewhat naturally. And that's not to sound like a braggart. I really didn't know. I didn't have the sort of intellectual knowledge at that point. I probably had instinct. It was all pure instinct. I knew that golf carts weren't supposed to be on golf courses. I knew that fairways weren't supposed to be flat. I knew that golf wasn't supposed to be fair. And so I let the golf course spill across these beautiful links dunes as naturally as they possibly could, and then you allow the golfer to try and figure it out.
You know, I saw Abandoned Dunes for the first time watching the U.S. Amateur on television. That must have made you feel super watching it on television.
Yeah, I was one of the, you know, a dozen spectators that was allowed out there. And that was a little surreal too. You know, so many golf fans were watching it, and yet so few golf fans actually there to see it. What I really, really loved was the fact that these players, the best amateurs in the world, were presented with a golf course that has true choices. They really didn't. So many of these courses we watch on TV, they talk about options, but when the fairways are 25, 35 yards wide, even for the best player in the world, how many options can there be when a fairway's that narrow? These guys were staring down fairways that were 100 yards wide. Now there really is a choice. Now you can really decide how you're going to strategize your way back from birdie. You know, how are you going to achieve that? And it was really interesting. As I watched the final groups play, I felt as someone that knows Bandon very, very well, I think I could have taken any of the final eight and given them the trophy at the end just by changing the way they played.
Wow. To know the course as well as you did, that must have been something. But to watch the young golfers make these choices, did that instill a pride in you?
Oh, of course it did. I mean, for everyone that's been involved at Bandon, you know, I get to be the lead singer, if you like, but there were so many people involved. And, of course, Mike Kaiser. Without him, none of this happens. In fact, without him, I think the face of golf in America probably doesn't look the way it does today. So he's the real catalyst to all of this. I was just the tool he used first to make what happened happen.
It's wonderful.
The golf course showed perfectly. You couldn't have asked for better conditions, better weather, a better champion in the end. The weather went from benign, beautiful, sunny to windy to foggy to rolling back out again. I mean, we just like you see in the British Open, you got all four seasons in a single day, day after day, as we watched it on TV. So it was a phenomenal venue, and I surely hope that the television cameras make it back there for whatever other tournaments Bandon hosts in the years to come.
That would be fantastic. I was speaking of, you know, link-style courses and the weather. I was watching these Aberdeen Scottish Open, and it went from, I was thinking about 3 o'clock this morning in Hawaii. God, it looks so beautiful. Look at that. And look at those skies. And then 2 hours later, there's buckets of water, and they're squeeching the greens, and it won't stop raining.
Yeah, that's where I was born and raised, right there. People say to me, why do you live in the desert in Central Oregon? I say, well, I've had enough rain in my life. I lived on the dry side of the Big Island for a couple of years. I've lived here now for almost 15 years. So the years I spent in Scotland, I feel like I served my time in the rain.
Yeah.
I've still got webbed feet.
Are they web feet?
Yep.
Oh, that's too good. Went from Bandon Dunes to many different golf courses, taking you around the world. And I know there was a transition from Bandon Dunes to Gamble Sands that I want to go through. But I'd really like to talk about some of the courses that you built, including Nanea on the Kohala coast of the Big Island. But I was just going to go like alphabetically, like it's on your website. Beaverbrook Golf Club in 2016. That to me was, you know, built on the old Lord Maxwell Beaverbrook Estate. Right? I mean, he was inside with Winston Churchill and all of that. But then his estate sort of became a cow pasture. And
it fell into rack and ruin until the Cadbury family bought it and decided to convert the house into a country house hotel so the public could actually visit it. And then they took the grounds and they made them into a private golf course and various other amenities to the hotel and the members. The thing about Beaverbrook that makes it very unique for me is it's the only co-design I've ever done. The owners there asked if I would collaborate with Tom Watson. And given that he's won 8 major championships and 5 of them at British Open, I felt that that would certainly be something I could learn from. So I spent about 5 years on that project, spending a lot of time with Tom, a lot of it just one-on-one, just he and I wandering around and days, sometimes even weekends, designing the course and talking about golf and hanging out. And it was a wonderful experience, and I'm incredibly honored to call Tom a friend.
That's wonderful. And the Cadbury family asking you to maintain the environmental and ecological world around there. This seems to be a thread that goes through all of your golf courses, your desire to create a golf course within the system that exists that you're working inside.
Yeah. Seamless. I want them to be seamless. As near as you can make green grass seamless, I want it to be seamless. I hope you didn't have your order too defined, but say Nanea, it's hard to create a natural golf course on the slopes of Mount Hualalai, but I did my very best to do it. I didn't move that much lava. I let the golf course spill across the lava as naturally as it possibly can. I integrated the fountain grass, which I know is not native, but now it's endemic across the whole island. So anything other than that looks out of place. I had a I had a client in Charles Schwab and George Roberts that obviously had the financial power to do whatever they wanted to do. And they asked me, you know, how much will you spend on landscaping? And I asked them what they meant. And they said, well, you know, Tom Fazio is doing a course next door and he's putting in hundreds, if not thousands, of palm trees and shrubs and flowering shrubs. And, you know, what do you want to do? We can do just the same. And I thought about it for a day or two and I said, I don't want to do anything. I want to just allow people to come up here on the slopes of Mount Hualalai and enjoy it as naturally as you possibly can with as little contrivance as possible. No streams, brooks, ponds, palm trees, nothing. It's just grass kind of spilling its way across the roly-poly lava fields. That's it.
And it's beautiful. And it's gorgeous. And the paspalum is drought-resistant. So given the dry conditions on much of the Big Island, it's perfect.
And salt-resistant. It actually, you can water it with brackish water and it will survive. So it's extremely environmentally friendly, much more so than Bermuda grass golf courses that are the norm in Hawaii.
Yeah.
So we really did everything we could to have as little footprint on the landscape, both from a design point of view and then from an ongoing maintenance point of view.
It's interesting. Okay, now we're going to go from Nanea. I want to go to Rolling Hills Golf Club, Palos Verdes. When I was a kid, we used to take drives up to Palos Verdes, you know, and look. And back then, it wasn't hardly built up at all. And we'd go along Rolling Hills, where, by the way, at one point, you know, we were looking at chimneys in the water off the coast because entire homes had, right, you know, the way they had built the homes on the side, I guess they didn't check out what the ground was going to do.
Totally flipped down, yeah.
Yeah, that was really something to see. Like, you know, you're 10 years old going, wow, there's a house right down there. You take over a golf course pre-existing that's run into, it meanders through houses, and then there's the sand quarry that's mined out. And you,
it's a complicated story.
Yeah.
In effect, what happened was that there was a golf club with some members that were going to lose their golf course because the lease ran out. And the neighboring property owner was a quarry that was mined out. There was no sand left or very little left in the quarry. So the golf members and the quarry owner did a deal. And we kept the golf club. The members stayed together, but their golf course moved across the street. And we built an entirely new golf course. We did use a little bit of the existing golf course, but most of the existing golf course became houses. And we built most of the new golf course in the disused quarry. But it was a disused sand quarry, and you know how important sand is. It's the elixir of life to a golf course architect.
Yeah.
If we're working with heavy clay soils, you know, we can build a, you know, maybe we can build a 5 out of 10 golf course, but if we're working in sand, there's no reason we can't build an 8 or a 9 or a 10 out of 10 golf course.
Well, one headline in Los Angeles called it the Big Dig. David McClay Kidd and his team completed a huge engineering project. Oh, and they built a golf course too. So,
yeah, that is true. Yeah, it was a massive engineering project, and that's what's often lost on golfers is sometimes the golf course they're playing on is really just the frosting on a really, really complicated cake. And so Rolling Hills would be a perfect example where that disused quarry had to be rehabbed back to something acceptable to the town. It also had to prevent stormwater damage. As the water falls on Palos Verdes, when you were a kid up there and there were very little roads and houses, the water seeped into the ground. Well, now it's covered the roads and houses. All that water is channelized and put into gutters and pipes. And before you know it, it's washing away streets and houses downstream. So we had to figure out how the golf course could become a giant safety net to all of the houses downstream. Down into Torrance and Manhattan Beach, Redondo Beach. That whole area takes huge runoff from Palos Verdes. So the golf course was really a stormwater protection project with a golf course on top.
Wow.
So, not very exciting stuff for to a golfer, but that's the reality of what I often do.
No, and that's, you know, I mean, Coral Creek on Oahu is a flood zone. So many of our flood basins, you know, our golf courses can take the water that one day could potentially damage a residential neighborhood, but instead it goes over and becomes a lake, and then it goes away, and the golf course is still there.
Well, we're probably not talking to many of your listeners who are not already golf fans, but if there are a few, it's important to know that very, very often golf courses are really a method for water treatment. It could be flood protection. It could be stormwater protection, like rolling hills. It can be the discharge of treated sewage effluent after it's been treated so that we don't infect groundwater. And obviously it provides recreation and employment. So there are a number of things that golf courses can do that benefit society. And the negatives that everyone wants to point at, with pesticides and herbicides and fertilizers, those are bygone days. That doesn't exist anymore. Golf course superintendents are highly educated, well-trained professionals that want to maintain their golf courses in an environmentally sensitive way at the lowest possible cost. It serves no purpose to them to pour expensive fertilizer on and watch it wash into the sea or a lake or a river. Those things don't happen. The tests that are done constantly prove that golf courses do not negatively impact the environment. They just get a bad reputation by, you know, dare I say, fake news.
Fake news. And the 80s. I think, you know, the 80s, it was a different world when all of a sudden everybody was building these gotta-be-green golf courses. Gotta-be green.
You gotta be right. Yeah, they're using up giant amount of water and fertilizer to do so. And every golf course, when I was first arrived in the States in the early 90s, wanted to be Augusta in April.
Yeah.
You know, and they're in Minnesota, and they've got, you know, 400 blue-collar members. Like, they're never going to look like Augusta in April. They're never going to look like Augusta in September.
Right.
And I, you know, I think now, 30 years later, there's a lot of golfers in the U.S. are fairly sophisticated, showing something like Bandon Jones on TV for the U.S. amateur delivers a lot of education that brown is okay. Having a golf course that's firm and fast is totally fine. There's no reason why that's not on purpose. It doesn't mean that the greenkeeper should be fired.
Thank you. Huntsman's Springs near Idaho Falls, southeastern Idaho. That's where Huntsman Springs is, guys. Done in an environmentally conscious way. And you added 50 acres of wetlands?
There's a good example. So there's another project where we had meltwaters coming off the Rocky Mountains that would have originally flown through threaded wetlands and making their way to the valley floor in a river. And with agriculture, the land is enclosed and plowed and used for grazing. And so all of those threaded wetlands over the last 100 to 200 years have been lost through the advent of agriculture. And we went back and we talked to professors that knew what the ecological processes were that the land would have moved through, and we said, okay, how do we put it back? How do we put it back to what nature would have done or nature did do until we interfered? And so we took a 1,000-acre parcel and we created over 50 acres of shallow moving wetland through it all, and there's about 80 acres of mowed grass. So in that 1,000 acres, they mow 80 acres of grass.
Amazing.
And we created over 50 acres of wetlands. So there's all sorts of good news stories about golf and what golf can provide to the community, the environment, and so on. And just they often aren't told.
We need to take a break quick just to take care of, you know, the cost of the airtime. I love talking with you. This is great. But I have this question I need to ask you, because you went from Bandon Dunes and then to Gamble Sands, But there was something happened in between. It was a conversation with Mr. Kaiser. And I've just heard about it because I watch Golf Channel. We'll be back right after this. We're talking with David McClay Kidd, golf course designer. It's DMK Golf Design on the internet. My name is Danielle Tucker, and this is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
You remember the story of Hezekiah, Mike? Wasn't he a good king that served the Lord? Yes, he was, but he also did something foolish. He let some strangers see all his stuff, and they came back later and stole it all.
Wow, bummer.
Some people today do that, too. They have an open carport so strangers can tell if they're home or not.
Can we help people like that, Dad?
We can enclose almost anyone's carport and give them the security of an automatic garage door.
It'll make the home look nicer, too.
Maybe if Hezekiah had a regular garage door, he could have kept his stuff. He just got a call my daddy now. 676-3667.
This is little Mike, and that was 18 years ago. It's never too late to call my dad. Rainer Overhead Doors, 676-3667.
Are you ready for a staycation? Napili Kai Beach Resort and Cup Golf are offering a spectacular golf package with fully furnished rooms, beautiful views from the spacious lanai, a two-night, three-day stay for two in Round of Golf for two on one of the spectacular Kapalua courses, only $525. That's about the price of those two rounds of golf. Well, maybe, you know, you'd be able to have dinner and drinks afterwards, but that is an incredible deal. Upgraded rooms, additional golf available at great discounts. Enjoy the crystal clear waters of Napili Bay on Maui. Dine at the award-winning Sea House restaurant. Just call 800-367-5030. Book your stay. Napili Kai Beach Resort and Kapalua Golf Getaway.
After 35 years in business, Aloha Power Equipment is moving to a larger location. Now it's all gotta go. Shindaibu and Mariama up to 25% off. Honda lawnmowers starting at $329. Honda EU2200i generators for $999. All fuel, oil, and lines 25% off. Save big on used equipment, unclaimed repair jobs, display stands. Everything must go. Aloha Power Equipment's moving sale. The month of September. Come early for the best selection. Weed it, whack it, mow it, blow it. Aloha Power Equipment, Sand Island and Waipahu.
Yeah, yeah, a mongoose stole my ball. What's the rule on that?
Let's get back into the clubhouse with Danielle Tucker.
We're talking with David McClay Kidd, golf course designer. It's DMK Golf Design Online. And, of course, born and raised in Scotland, and he's made his name Bandon Dunes. So many golf courses that we've talked about are private, so a lot of us can't play all these private golf courses and see. You kind of disappeared, David, in a way. And tell us about the conversation with Mike Kaiser. He had played some of these courses, and what was the feedback he gave you?
I didn't disappear, Danielle. I did do seven courses in the UK in the same time as the exam republic.
Whoops.
So, I only disappeared from the US for a little while. I think what you're referring to is after I built Bandon, I was working on projects in the US that had housing on them. Tethero Golf Club in Bend, Huntsman Springs, which is now known as Tributary, and various others. And this was back in the late 90s, early 2000s, and real estate was booming, and the developers wanted as much media attention as they could possibly get. And the media attention was generally coming from the golf critics who were ranking these golf courses based on their level of difficulty. And so me, along with many other golf course architects, were encouraged to play that game to get that media attention the developer so craved to help sell his real estate. So golf courses became harder and harder. And I think to the detriment of the game and to the golfer. And around the last recession, I really started to question that wisdom. I really started to wonder where this was going to end up. We had a ranking system that ranked every new golf course, it seemed, almost instantly way up there. You know, like, this is the best golf course that's ever opened in the history of anywhere. And then the next year, the next one would be the best ever. And the common theme they had was that they were really, really difficult. The average player got absolutely beaten up. They were losing golf balls. They were shooting double their handicap. And I really started to wonder if that were good for the game. And Mike Kaiser said as much to me. He said, you know, I've been and played some of these courses that you're building, and that's how I feel, that they're just too difficult for my game. And Mike's a 14 handicapper.
Wow.
So he's right there. He's the average guy who's paying, you know, with his time and money to enjoy what I create. And so if he's not happy, what's the point in the end? Even if it does get lots of media, I think that that's a short-term win and a long-term loss. So I decided to change direction and go back to what I knew best, which was the golf courses of the British Isles, courses that are eminently playable, that the weather plays a big role in, that the ground game is so important in, that you have to read the bounce and decide how you're going to work the ball closer to the pin or into a better spot in the fairway. And the courses that I subsequently built were so much more successful and enjoyed by golfers.
Fun.
And that led to Gamble Sands, a course in Washington that Mike played, must be 6 years ago now. And Mike called me up after he had played it, said, you know, you're back. This is what I love about what you do.
Awesome.
And so for the last decade or so, I've really doubled down on making sure that the courses we do are not only challenging to the good golfer trying to score, and that's a really important definition. They're difficult when they're trying to score. But to the average golfer trying to shoot his handicap, I try my hardest not to beat them up any more than they beat themselves up.
This is this conversation is so amazing. I have so many questions I wanted to ask you about. You know, the golf course architect, as you're watching some of our major championships and the golf course setups and protecting the greens from some of these, you know, the Bryson DeChambeau, Brooks Koepkas of the world, Wolf too, you know, all these kids that are just hammering the golf ball. The equipment is outrageously wonderful for them. Can you come back and be on the show at some point and we can talk about that?
Yeah, of course. Of course, I have lots of thoughts about that.
Oh, good. Oh, good. David McClay Kidd, golf course designer, DMK Golf Design. Thank you so much for being on the show. Huge pleasure. Aloha.
Aloha.
We're going to come back. We're going to Ireland. Kevin Markham's been standing by, golf course photographer and writer, editor of Destination Golf, author of Hooked, An Amateur's Guide to the Golf Courses of Ireland, Driving the Green, and contributor to Catalog 18, a fabulous magazine with photos of golf courses from around the world. We're going to be talking a little bit about the business of golf in Ireland and how we're doing. We'll be back after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
The Bayview Golf Course in beautiful Kaneohe is Hawaii's best value in golf. Perfect for a group of friends, business clients, a party, or a tournament. Try our new double-deck Top Tracer driving range located on Kaneohe Bay Drive, minutes from town. Go to BayviewHawaii.com now or call us at 247-0451 extension 1 to book your round. There's good grinds and drinks upstairs. Bayview, your new home away from home. Check BayviewHawaii.com.
Okay, we've got a contest for you. We've got a gift certificate for you. Bayview Golf Course, okay? It's the best value in golf. It has spectacular views of the gorgeous Kaneohe Bay. I mean, it's one of the most beautiful bays in Hawaii. And all you have to do is tell us which holes at Bayview have bunkers? And how many bunkers are on hole number 9? So you already have part of the answer. How many bunkers are on hole number 9? And the reason this is great is because now Bayview has a golf course superintendent and they're bringing bunkers back. And this is awesome. So that's Bayview Golf Course. Okay? Give us a call. 808-545-1111. So simple. 808-545-1111. Guess if you got it. Just give us a call. It's worth it. I'm Danielle Tucker. What's worse than living with constant pain? Not doing anything about it. Back, neck, hip, knee, all things chronic pain. Who do I see? Dr. Jonathan Carlson at Hawaii Pain and Spine Clinic on Oahu, where the Aloha spirit meets innovation and patient care. Dr. Carlson is a double board certified pain specialist. Call 452-1379 now. Don't spend another hour in pain. Go to hawaiipain.com for more information. Call 452-1379, 452-1379 for an appointment at Hawaii Pain and Spine. Reclaim your life with Dr. Carlson.
After 35 years in business, Aloha Power Equipment is moving to a larger location. Now it's all gotta go. Shindaibu and Mariyama up to 25% off. Honda lawnmowers starting at $329. Honda EU2200i generators for $999. All fuel, oil, and lines 25% off. Save big on used equipment, unclaimed repair jobs, display stands. Everything must go. Aloha Power Equipment's moving sale. The month of September. Come early for the best selection. Weed it, whack it, mow it, blow it. Aloha Power Equipment, Sand Island and Waipahu.
While the tourists are away, Waikiki hotels are renovating. Ross's Appliances and Furniture has scored big and is passing the savings on to you. Hundreds of items, beautiful high-end tropical furniture, dressers, nightstands, desks, chairs, Koa-framed art, banana leaf mirrors, and much more, all priced to sell fast. Ross's even has desks for your distant learner at home. Ross's on Mokuea Street in Kalihi. Ross's open 7 days a week from 8 to 6. Ross's will save you hundreds of dollars, and we guarantee it.
Got a disaster in your business, high-rise, or home? Call MD Restoration, 24-7 Emergency and Disaster Restoration Service. We are totally COVID-compliant. Floods, dirty water cleanup, fire damage repair, mold remediation, smoke damage, asbestos abatement, carpet and upholstery cleaning. Call 528-3434. We're also a licensed general contractor, insurance company experts. Need help now? MD Restoration takes the stress out of your disaster. Get MD cleaned now. Call 528-3434.
Let's see, 40 yards to the pin, wind in my face. Where's my wedge? I saw this flop shot on TV. Oh, not even close. Now back to Danielle Tucker.
Kevin Markham, golf photographer and writer and editor of Destination Golf. He's author of Hooked, An Amateur's Guide to the Golf Courses of Ireland, Driving the Green, and contributor to Catalog 18 Fabulous Magazine. It's all golf courses all the time. Gorgeous photos. So, welcome into the clubhouse, Kevin.
Hi, Danielle. How are you?
I'm good. You know, we talk about business now a lot more. Some of our golf courses are doing fabulous because it's about the only sport that we can play. In fact, one of our golf courses is completely sold out today at Makaha because there's more social distancing, fewer tee times are available, so they're selling out. The curious thing is, of course, we can't travel. So it's very difficult to go to a neighbor island and play, so we have to stay in our own little pond, and that doesn't always bring enough money in. How is Ireland, the golf industry of Ireland, doing?
Well, Danielle, I have a coin here, and I can flip it, and if it's heads, I'll give you the good news, and if it's tails, I'll give you the bad news, because quite frankly, it's It's one or the other. I mean, overall, the general feeling is it's really positive. Obviously, a lot more members have come in. Clubs here have like attracted, you know, 150, almost 200 members, you know, into a club, which is absolutely fabulous news. They're paying subscriptions. Brilliant. But on the other side, we're not getting the green fees, we're not getting corporates, we're not getting societies, and we're not getting the international travellers. So depending on which course you're talking about, you know, it's a very, very different story depending on, you know, whether you're a small country parkland or whether you're one of the big boys, the Royal Port Rush. You know, they're down a couple of million this year from already. So it's terrifying, really, for some courses.
Yeah, and that is certainly the case here in Hawaii. We had Ko'olau, one of the toughest golf courses, a slope rating of 153. It had to close completely just at the last minute. Last Wednesday was their last day. So Ko'olau is gone. Other courses are consolidating their, you know, personnel. Then there's the resort courses, and they're not doing any business because nobody can come here to stay at the resorts to play. So I completely understand, and I think we're all in this together. Sounds cliche at this point, I know, but it's true. We're all suffering in different ways. Some people are experiencing great golf, you know, and like Makaha, but they're also not able to use the same number of tee times. You were talking about in Donegal with St. Patrick, redesigned by Tom Doak. So money is still going into redesign work?
I think so, yes. I mean, there's obviously courses that have been committed to. So, I mean, Narran and Port New, they've just finished the redesign there by Gil Hance, and that opened, I think, you know, a couple of months ago for play. So that's now open. And the St. Patrick's Links, which is probably, in my opinion, the most exciting project on the go at the moment, pretty much anywhere, is due to open next spring, and having the name Tom Doak on it is phenomenal news for Ireland. You know, we've never had, we don't have a Tom Doak, we don't have Gil Hance for that matter, until Narran and Port New opens. So, I mean, you know, it's really good to get these big designer names, and in a county like Donegal, where there's such serious quality links golf courses, you know, having Tom Doak come along and design a links golf course on one of the most incredible pieces of land is huge for Ireland. And hopefully next year, you know, things will open up a little bit and we can get more travelers.
Yeah, and it becomes then a must-visit location, as you said.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, I mean, Donegal has got, you know, everyone talks about the southwest with the Ballybunions, the Watervilles, Tralees, and the Hinches and things. That's, I mean, you know, that is Mecca for a lot of people, and I don't blame them. It's a beautiful spot. Donegal has, you know, Ballyliffins and Port Salons, Rothapenna, which is owns St. Patrick's, and then more courses around the edge. It's got, you know, a nine-hole course called Critch Island, which was recently voted as number 10 in golf.com's top 50 nine-hole golf courses in the world. So, you know, there's such quality up there, and I think there will be an awful lot more people who will start traveling there once the St. Patrick Links opens up.
In Donegal. I have, you know, it's so good to hear you pronounce everything, because I can really just make a mess of all things. Let's see, in the Dingle Peninsula, some of the designs, other links courses, is that where Doak is working?
Well, the courses, I mean, the actual course, St. Patrick's Links, opened in 1994, and it was nothing in particular, lovely piece of land, and then later on, Eddie Hackett, Ireland's revered architect, which he is, I mean, he's an amazing quantity of work that he produced. He designed one of the golf courses. There were two golf courses at St. Patrick's. He designed one, and this woman, who no one knows much about, called Joanne O'Hare, she designed the other. So there were two links courses there, and they were played by very few people, and no one really knew about it. Maintenance was not great. Then it got bought out by somebody else, a local, you know, the local property guy. And he tried to bring in Jack Nicklaus. So Jack Nicklaus came in and started designing a new course, completely different to what was already there. And then that fell, you know, flat in its face.
and all kinds of stories around that. I don't know what's true, so I'm not even going to begin to talk about that. But then a few years ago, Ross Appenna, the Caseys, they bought this piece of land. And eventually they got Tom Doak in, I think probably a couple of years ago, to start working on it. And he's now doing something, again, completely different. You know, no fairways are going to be anywhere near each other. It just sounds like an amazing project with views over Sheephaven Bay. It's just, I think it's going to be incredible. And when it opens next year, hopefully in the spring, well, we'll see.
We'll see. Yeah, now, are any of these golf courses close to the ocean, perchance? Because you mentioned in your email that some serious erosion problems are happening.
Yeah, well, pretty much every single course that I mentioned there, they're all on the coast. They're all links. So, you know, they are, by their definition, on the sea, and they're right. going to be struggling. I shouldn't actually say by definition, because that's not true. There are plenty of courses, links courses in Scotland, which are actually not that close to the sea. But certainly in Ireland, they are. And those along the north coast and down the west coast have been struggling hugely in recent years. And I mean, I know there's, you know, I'm afraid I very much believe in climate change, man-made climate change. We get these named storms coming across the ocean far more than we ever used to, and far more powerful than they used to be. And places like La Hinch, Doonbeg, obviously, because Doonbeg is one of the youngest links courses. They never got permission to build sea defences because, you know, the laws changed, environmental laws changed, and through the EU and things like that. So they haven't been able to do that. And they've lost chunks of their course over the years. I mean, the very famous par 314, one hole just got washed away. Yeah. So we are struggling with that over here. And courses all along that coast, County Sligo is another one, Narran and Port New, which I already mentioned there, they lost a big chunk of their 15th because it runs above the ocean. So there are increasing difficulties there for all the links courses.
Wow.
And it will continue. It's not about to stop anytime soon.
No. When you talk about huge rocks ending up on the golf course, you know, because there's no defenses, can you really build a defense against the ocean and what it's doing?
Well, that's an interesting question. I mean, I actually have a friend of mine who's an environmental lawyer. I've talked to him about this a few times, and he says, you know, whatever sea defense you build, you're going to struggle with holding back the ocean, because I mean, it's the ocean. You know, it has its own power, and it's not going to pay much attention to rocks put in its way. Mulranny, which is also on the west coast, 9-hole golf course, also on golf.com's top 59-hole courses in the world, I'll mention. Back in 2014, we had a massive storm, and pretty much the entire sea defenses of rock ended up on the golf course. It was that powerful. Fairways were flooded. It was a disaster for them, and they had to launch an appeal. Unfortunately, Tom Doak stepped in and he said, look, this is a course that deserves to be saved.
Wow.
And how much he was responsible for, I don't know, but the course is still there and still going strong.
Yeah, he's a very nice man. Did Wailea Country Club, pieces at a time, because the membership, you know, didn't want to shut down the golf course. So he would do three holes at a time to do the golf course, bring it back to as much as they could, the old Wailea before the hotel and the houses built around it and things were moved, and it did a fabulous job. So very flexible. Wow. You know, we have similar issues with the ocean. We're constantly talking about sea level change rising. What's it going to do? Homes along the Sunset area, North Shore of Oahu, that are built so close, there really is no defense. And it just, you put sandbags up and it's just very, very difficult. So I was watching the Scottish Open, and it went from a sunny, sunny day with glorious, you know, views, perfect. And then all of a sudden, torrential rain came flooding down. But I was thinking about the Irish Open. The Dubai duty-free Irish Open, it was first played, I didn't realize it was first played in 1927, And it's been playing every year since then, except for the war years. John Catlin won. This is his second European Tour event in 3 weeks to win. Only the third American to do so. And the first in 43 years since Ben Crenshaw and Hubert Greene in 1976 and 1977. Tell us about the Gulgorm Castle Golf Club. Is that where, that's where it was played in Northern Ireland, right?
Yeah, yeah, it was. And it's a course I actually know very well. I've been photographing it for about 5 years now. And it's a lovely course. I mean, it's not sort of like the big spectacular parkland. It's a very smooth, level sort of fairways. It has two rivers running through it, so it's a very pretty, enchanting place to play golf. And I mean, at the beginning of the week, when you know the weather forecast was fairly calm, I think they were going, "Oh, the professionals are going to destroy this. They're going to be, you know, -20, no problem at all." And the first day, guys were going out and just getting beaten to a pulp because the rough is, you know, they grew the rough up and they grew it thick. So it has to have some defenses. I mean, you know, I've played it many times, and it's not an outstandingly difficult course. It was interesting listening to David there talking about building courses that, you know, people can actually play without getting beaten up. And that's Gulgorm Castle. It's very much a sort of resort feel. It's now attached to a very, very fancy hotel and spa, which is the top place in Ireland really to stay. But I mean, it's a couple of miles down the road. So it's not like it's, you know, on the doorstep. And it's a lovely, lovely round of golf. And I mean, I was intrigued watching these guys play because, you know, a couple of the par fives became par fours, no surprise there. You know, and its defenses were the rough and the weather. So, I mean, you know, hats off to Catlin for doing what he did. I mean, he played a blinder of a last round to win it. But, you know, you ask most Irish people and they say they'd like to see the Irish Open on the links because, you know, the links is what separates us from and Scotland and England and you know, from most countries, we have something that others don't. So it will be going back to the links. I don't think it'll be next year because I think next year it's going to the original host, which is Mount Juliet, and then the year after that it'll go back to Port Stewart where John Rahm won a few years ago in 2017.
Marvelous, because everybody wants Lynx courses where they live, and you've got them. You should be showing them off. great talking to you. Where can we find your photographs?
My photographs are on kevinmarkhamphotography.com.
kevinmarkhamphotography.com. And if we find something that we really want to have, can we buy it?
Yeah. Photographs up there are for sale. And quite frankly, if there isn't a photograph up there that you want of a particular club, you can contact me through the website. I've probably got something. It's just I only put up, you know, a certain number of photographs at a time.
Sure. Absolutely fabulous. Thank you. This is Kevin Markham. KevinMarkhamPhotography.com. He's a golf course photographer, and he's a writer, editor, Destination Golf, and author of Hooked, An Amateur's Guide to the Golf Courses of Ireland. You need to get that if you're going to go to Ireland, and contributor to Catalog 18, that fabulous magazine with golf course photographs. Thank you for being on the show. It's always good talking to you, Kevin.
Thanks, Danielle. That's been really kind of you.
Thank you. Aloha. We've got somebody who does amazing things for amazing people. His name is Russ Holden, PGA, CEO and founder of Caddy for a Cure. After this, my name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
Do you remember the story of Hezekiah, Mike? Wasn't he a good king that served the Lord?
Yes, he was, but he also did something foolish. He let some strangers see all his stuff, and they came back later and stole it all.
Wow, bummer.
Some people today do that, too. They have an open carport so strangers can tell if they're home or not.
Can we help people like that, Dad?
We can enclose almost anyone's carport and give them the security of an automatic garage door.
It'll make the home look nicer, too.
Maybe if Hezekiah had rang your garage door, he could have kept his stuff. You just gotta call my daddy now. 676-3667.
This is Little Mike, and that was 18 years ago. It's never too late to call my dad. Rainer Overhead Doors, 676-3667.
Are you ready for a staycation? Now, Pilikai Beach Resort and Kapalua Golf offering a spectacular golf package with fully furnished rooms, beautiful views from their spacious lanai. It's a two-night, three-day stay for two, starts at $525. Includes one round of golf for two at one of the spectacular Kapalua courses. Upgraded rooms, additional golf available at great discounts. Come enjoy the crystal clear waters of Napili Bay. Dine at the award-winning Sea House restaurant. Call 800-367-5030. 367-5030 to book your stay. Napili Kai Beach Resort and Kapalua Golf Getaway.
After 35 years in business, Aloha Power Equipment is moving to a larger location. Now it's all gotta go. Shindaibu and Mariyama up to 25% off. Honda lawnmowers starting at $329. Honda EU2200i generators for $999. All fuel, oil, and lines 25% off. Save big on used equipment, unclaimed repair jobs, display stands. Everything must go. Aloha Power Equipment's moving sale. The month of September. Come early for the best selection. Weed it, whack it, mow it, blow it. Aloha Power Equipment, Sand Island and Waipahu.
So as Bayview continues to become even more spectacular, they're adding bunkers. And the contest, where the numbers are too high, guys. How many bunkers are on hole number 10? That's the question. How many bunkers are on hole number 10? 808-545-1111.
Got a disaster in your business, high-rise, or home? Call MD Restoration, 24/7 emergency and disaster restoration service. We are totally COVID compliant. Floods, dirty water cleanup, fire damage repair, mold remediation, smoke damage, asbestos abatement, carpet and upholstery cleaning. Call 528-3434. We're also a licensed general contractor, insurance company experts. Need help now? MD Restoration takes the stress out of your disaster. Get MD cleaned now. Call 528-3434.
What's worse than living with constant pain? Not doing anything about it. Back, neck, hip, knee, all things chronic pain. Who do I see? Dr. Jonathan Carlson at Hawaii Pain and Spine Clinic on Oahu, where the Aloha spirit meets innovation and patient care. Dr. Carlson is a double board certified pain specialist. Call 452-1379 now. Don't spend another hour in pain. Go to hawaiipain.com for more information. Call 452-1379, 452-1379 for an appointment at Hawaii Pain and Spine. Reclaim your life with Dr. Carlson.
Ah, here's the local rule sign. Keep it in the fairway. It speeds up play. Now, back to Danielle Tucker.
Russ Holden, PGA CEO and founder, Caddy for a Cure, welcome into the clubhouse.
Hello, Danielle. Great to be with you yet again at the golf club. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Now, Caddy for a Cure. What is Caddy for a Cure?
You know, it's a great question. We humbly like to call it one of the most exciting experiences in all of professional golf. It's the opportunity for the average golfer to be able to come inside the ropes and caddy for a day for one of the world's greatest players. We started it 18 years ago with a emphasis and a passion to want to be able to help various issues and things that plague society, and we've morphed into a whole metamorphosis of different things that we assist, but for the average golfer out there, it is utterly one of the greatest experiences in all of golf to be able to stand next to and work with one of the greatest players in all of golf.
Now, so I'm on your website, caddy with a Y for cure.com. And I'm seeing Tommy Fleetwood, Rory McIlroy, Justin Rose, Phil Mickelson, Lexi Thompson, Jason Day, Jack Nicklaus. I could caddy for one of these people?
Yeah, you can. They've all been part of our program, and they've been happy to support. And it's really been wonderful over the last 18 years, the support of all these great players that are willing to give up a great day for a really great cause and be able to provide an experience that is truly a life memory.
So tell me, how would I go about caddying for, let's say, Rory McIlroy?
Sure. Well, obviously, right now things are a little bit different with us being in the middle of COVID and things being a little different out on all the tours with no fans and just being in the bubble. But once we get this thing cleared up and once we get back to our regular life as we know it, you'll simply go to our website. You'll see all the players and all the venues that we're going to have coming up. And if you don't see your favorite player on there or don't see your favorite venue, all of our contact information's on there. Give us a call. Send me an email, and we'll do what I call humbly make a marriage happen. That is, we'll connect you with your favorite player, and we'll try to work it out so that they'll be available at your favorite venue. Obviously, it's always up to the player, and he or she has the final decision.
Caddy for a cure with a Y, C-A-D-D-Y, Caddy for a cure. What have you accomplished? Who's this for? I mean, obviously, it sounds to me like you're doing this to, as you said, to help people. Who are we helping?
You know, I'm a PGA golf professional. I've actually been a member here in the South Florida section now for 35 years, Danielle, and I had the opportunity way back when at the club that I was at in Boca Raton, Florida, that we had a German golfer, which many of your listeners are probably familiar with. His name is Bernhard Langer. And we met in the late 80s, and he and I hit it off, and I ended up in a part-time coaching realm for him. And he asked me to come on out and caddy for him one week to fill in for his longtime caddy, Pete Coleman. And I had tried to play myself and unsuccessfully and wisely went into being a club professional. But that first week that I caddied for him, I was like a kid in a candy store. Here I was, you know, at that time, Bernhard was third in the world, and we were running with the likes of Seve Ballesteros and Nick Faldo and Greg Norman and all the great players of that day. And I was hooked. I knew that this was just awesome. So while I was serving as head professional there at Bernhard's club, one of my assistants' wives gave birth to two children 5 years apart, Christian and Kaylin Collins, that were born with a rare bone marrow disorder called Fanconi anemia. And it was living, breathing, and dying, literally, with family. And it was my first touch with something like that. So I set out, and I said, somewhere, somehow, I've got to be able to make a difference to this disease and this disorder. And I had no idea what I was going to do. So it kind of fast forward a few years, about 12 to be exact. And Bernhard got the call from him. He was at the British Open, and Pete had resigned permanently. And I was in the right place at the right time, and Bernhard asked me to come out and caddy for him as an experiment that ended up being almost 7 years. And while I was out there, again, now rubbing shoulders with Tiger and Phil and Ernie and all the great players, I had an idea that why couldn't we raise some awareness and some funding for Fanconi anemia by letting Danielle come out and caddy for a Ricky Fowler or a Jordan Spieth or somebody like that. And we put a business plan together and got our 501c3 status and went to the PGA Tour. And they gracefully allowed us a very short leash at first, and has since become quite a bit longer. And we've been providing experiences now for 18 years.
Wow, that is amazing. I didn't know that you were caddy for one of my favorite people of all times. He's such a gracious man.
He was. He's a great guy, and he's still a good friend. And we had a great time working together. You know, and again, it developed out of a friendship. Developed out of that, out of our club back in Boca Raton, as I mentioned, at Woodfield Country Club. And you know, who would have ever known way back when in the late 80s that that friendship would develop into something that's meant so much to so many people. You know, we've sort of morphed into a military charity. You know, we talk about Fanconi anemia, and it'll always be the impetus behind why we started Caddy for a Cure. But while I was caddying for Bernhard, we had an experience down at the Valero Texas Open, then at La Cantera, and the PGA Tour, being very military appreciative and patriotic, walked six young men down the range that had all lost legs, six young Marines, and they were about the same age as my son. And I looked at them, and it was just chilling to me to realize that they had raised their right hand for us to be able to live in their relative freedoms and enjoy the liberties that we do. And I said, gosh, if Danielle can come out and caddy for Ricky Fowler, why couldn't she be escorted by a wounded service member? Wow. So I laid out a little plan to the PGA Tour. It took them about 3.5 megaseconds to say yes to that. And now for almost 15 years, we've been providing experiences to our brave men and women who have served our country so well. And we bring them in. We pay for everything. We set them up with an awesome inside the PGA Tour look behind the scenes and take them through the equipment trailers and introduce them to as many players as we can, locker room. They get to see it, you know, everything, hook, line, and sinker, the whole deal of what goes into a professional tour event. And then on top of it, they get to have their experience with their player. And we know that golf's so incredibly therapeutic, whether the person's been physically injured or emotionally or mentally injured. We know what a difference it's made, and we've seen it. We have evidence of that, and golf, just being the great game that it is, provides that. And we're again, humbled to be able to offer this to our wounded.
That's wonderful. So they get the backstage pass, they get to see everything behind the scenes backstage, and then they get to go on the main stage with their favorite player and see what it's like being in the center of all that attention.
It really is. You know, we had our last experience at Bay Hill right before COVID hit, and it happened to be with Rory McIlroy, of all people, that you mentioned. And Rory is just a great guy, and he gets it. He totally gets it, and he's been a great friend to Caddy for a Cure. And we had a young man, Jeff Mall, Staff Sergeant Jeff Mall, came wounded pretty severely, was homeless for a couple of years after he was injured. They had misdiagnosed some of his problems and his issues, and literally walked off the 18th hole in tears, having the opportunity to meet Brooks Koepka. And Phil spent some time with him on the first tee as we were going to number 10. And obviously Rory, in his grace, I think Rory was more in awe of Jeff than Jeff was even of Rory. And that really epitomized what it is we really do and what we've intended to do way back when we started out.
Wow. And so we go to caddyforacure.com. When do you think you're going to, well, we're going to start up when we can start up. Are you doing anything virtually?
We've done a few things. We have an annual event that we host here in South Florida in our home. We're going to host that February 1st next year, and we're making plans for that right now. We bring in a large number of our wounded men and women that have participated with us over the years. We have a bunch of great sponsors that help us out with that, and we have some military brass, and a lot of celebrities come in. Lexi's been here for that one. Roger Clemens comes quite often. We've had some military brass and retired general. George W. Casey, a four-star. We had Admiral Joe Kernan, who was a Navy SEAL, high-level ranking Navy SEAL. It's actually working in the Defense Department right now, and a bunch of other people that come in, and it's like a big family reunion and get-together. And we've been thinking about doing some virtual things and just trying to put that all together to, you know, maybe have a Q&A day with some of our favorite players and allow the fans to be able to have a touch with them, because that's really what we offer, is a close touch, and again, all of it going to great charities. We're really thrilled to be partnered and attached to Birdies for the Brave, which is the military outreach of the PGA Tour, and we get most of our wounded guys through Birdies for the Brave and all the great foundations and organizations that they support, and it's just really been an awesome time for us to be able to do what it is we do.
It's awesome. Russ Holden, PGA, CEO and founder, Caddy for a Cure. Put me on your mailing list so I can stay in touch with everything you guys are doing. That would be great.
I'm shocked that you're not. I will absolutely get you on there. That's an easy one.
Yay! All right, Russ, thank you so much for being on the show.
Danielle, thanks for having me. Always nice to talk to you.
Good talking to you. Aloha. Thank you. All right, we've got our fabulous prize still waiting for the person who can tell us. There are two holes on Bayview Golf Course, and it's going through such changes with its new superintendent, and they're doing fabulous things. And of course, there's also Top Tracer on the driving range if you don't have time for a full nine, which would not take that much time. But anyway, Our question is very simple. So two holes, 9 and 10, have, and we already got the winner for that, they have bunkers now. So how many bunkers are on number 10? How many bunkers are on number 10? Call in with your guess if you don't know. Then you can go play Bayview. We're going to come back right after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
Got a disaster in your business, high-rise, or home? Call MD Restoration, 24-7 Emergency and Disaster Restoration Service. We are totally COVID-compliant. Floods, dirty water cleanup, fire damage repair, mold remediation, smoke damage, asbestos abatement, carpet and upholstery cleaning. Call 528-3434. We're also a licensed general contractor, insurance company experts. Need help now? MD Restoration takes the stress out of your disaster. Get MD cleaned now. Call 528-3434.
We are KPUA Hilo, KORL Waianae, Honolulu, KONI Lanai City, KTOH Kalaheo.
You remember the story of Hezekiah, Mike?
Wasn't he a good king that served the Lord?
Yes, he was, but he also did something foolish. He let some strangers see all his stuff, and they came back later and stole it all.
Wow, bummer.
Some people today do that, too. They have an open carport so strangers can tell if they're home or not.
Can we help people like that, Dad?
We can enclose almost anyone's carport and give them the security of an automatic garage door.
It'll make the home look nicer, too.
Maybe if Hezekiah had rang your garage door, he could have kept his stuff. You just gotta call my daddy now. 676-3667.
This is Little Mike, and that was 18 years ago. It's never too late to call my dad. Rainer Overhead Doors, 676-3667.
The Bayview Golf Course in beautiful Kaneohe is Hawaii's best value in golf. Perfect for a group of friends, business clients, a party, or a tournament. Try our new double-deck Top Tracer driving range located on Kaneohe Bay Drive, minutes from town. Go to BayviewHawaii.com now or call us at 247-0451 extension 1 to book your round. There's good grinds and drinks upstairs. Bayview, your new home away from home. Check BayviewHawaii.com.
While the tourists are away, Waikiki hotels are renovating. Ross's Appliances and Furniture is scored big and is passing the savings on to you. Hundreds of items, beautiful high-end tropical furniture, dressers, nightstands, desks, chairs, coa-framed art, banana leaf mirrors, and much more, all priced to sell fast. Ross's even has desks for your distant learner at home. Ross's on Mokuea Street in Kalihi. Ross's open 7 days a week from 8 to 6. Ross's will save you hundreds of dollars, and we guarantee it.
You scope out the sand traps. You size up the green. You're eyeing the flag. Now, it's time to choose a club, but you don't know which one to choose?
That's when you turn to Danielle Tucker. Now, back to the golf club.
Michael Patrick Shields, travel guru extraordinaire, travel writer at traveltattler.org, host of the Michigan's Big Show, Michigan Association of Broadcasters, best network radio personality of the year, and his most recent book is I Call Him Mr. President, Stories of Golf, Fishing, and Life with my friend, George H.W. Bush. Welcome into the clubhouse, Michael Patrick.
And presumably COVID-free at the moment, hopefully. Hopefully. How are you?
Well, I should hope so. I'm fine. I've been talking about Jack Nicklaus slipping a green jacket on you this morning.
Yeah.
What?
Speaking of that.
Yes.
You know, I'm this morning speaking to you from the Four Seasons Los Angeles at Beverly Hills. And the reason I'm so close to Hawaii, I wish I could hop over a little bit further, but they have been very, very diligent about making sure people who check in there have a COVID-free experience. And I know Four Seasons has a big presence in the Hawaiian Islands, which is why I bring it up. But they even hired somebody, his name is Daniel Taylor, and he's the hygiene officer. And he makes sure that he goes around the property, and he's implemented all of these really scientific things that are quite fascinating, like the elevator buttons are self-cleaning buttons.
Wow.
And they're made out of some material that somehow self-cleans, I guess, basically. And they have private fitness rooms, and when you check in, you get a kit that has a mask and sanitary devices and so forth. So they're taking it very seriously. And so when I joke about being COVID-free, I got to hand it to Four Seasons Los Angeles here in Beverly Hills. They're health-minded to begin with, of course, but in this era, especially health-minded. And it's funny that you mentioned Jack Nicklaus, because I was with him this week. And anytime you get to be with the greatest of anything, it's really, to me, overwhelming, and it's quite an honor. And Jack, at 80 years old, is, I have to report to you, Danielle Tucker, he is quite mellow. And, you know, for a competitor who just crushed everybody that he went up against, you know, and I've even seen him go up against reporters in the media room where, you know, they were really, like, shattered. Like, he could stare at you with those steely blue eyes and just scare the devil out of you.
Yes.
But at 80, he's very mellow, and we were at American Dunes, which is a course that he came out of retirement to design in Grand Haven, Michigan. And the reason he did it is it benefits Folds of Honor. So every penny that this golf course will make when it opens in May will go to Folds of Honor, which provides scholarships to young men and women who lost their parents in the military. So it's a noble cause behind it. And he was there to show it off. And so he, I happened to wear a green blazer in his honor with the yellow tie, you know, to sort of salute his master's victories. And during the course of the live radio interview we were doing, I brought it up. I said, you know, well, how did you feel about a master's in November? And he said, well, I'm not playing in it. So, and I said, I so wish you were. And you know what he said? He looked at me and he said, I so wish I was too.
Mm-hmm.
And it just, you know, when you get to the September and November and December of your years, to hear a man, you know, say that was really touching. And anyway, I said, would you? And I really wasn't sure whether I should do this or not, because I didn't know if he would play along or if he would think it was disrespectful. I said, would you put the green jacket on me, like so many times was put on you by the past champ? And he's like, sure, I'll do that for you. And I took the blazer off, and he stood behind me, and he put it on, and he said, from one winner to another.
Oh, that is
some, that sweet.
Yes, yes. At least now, see, now I know he still has a sense of humor. He may be mellow.
I hope they don't kick him out of Augusta National for that.
Oh, well, of course not.
They get a little fussy down there, you know, about things like that.
Yes, I know. But, you know, as long as his sense of humor is, you know, he's Jack Nicklaus. They're not going to, what are they going to do? Seriously. Right?
Well,
maybe they'll send
him a note. You say that, and it's really funny you say that, because one of the other questions I asked him about is, a few days before I was with him, he was at Johnny Morris's opening of Tiger Woods' new course down there in the Ozarks.
Yeah.
And if you saw him walking around there, Jack, he had a credential hanging around his neck, you know, like a media credential, or a VIP credential, a media credential.
You're allowed to be here.
I said, Jack, I saw you walking around with that credential. I said, that seems kind of like you're the most recognizable athlete probably in the world. And he said, well, you know, they gave it to me, and I didn't want anyone to be put in an uncomfortable position, so I wore it. I thought, too, there's that Midwestern humbleness once again. Mm-hmm. You know, you think some people say, you know, I don't need that. I'm Jack. You know, but he didn't. And the other cool thing that he did that was very sweet is, you know, he went to Ohio State. And in Michigan, where I was meeting with him, you know, those are fighting words. The Michigan-Ohio State rivalry, as you recall, is very bitter. And so I brought a gift for him, and it was a University of Michigan coronavirus mask. And I said, here. I said, I wanted to give you this. And he's got this impish grin on his face, and he reached in his pocket, and he pulled out an Ohio State Buckeye mask. And I said, you don't even need to wear one. You've already had COVID. He said, I don't ever wear this, but when I come to Michigan, I bring it in my pocket to rile people up.
Just to rile them up. Yes. Well, did you ask Jack Nicklaus the questions I asked you to ask him?
You wanted to know about the short ball and the golf courses being made, irrelevant by the fact that people in Bryson DeChambeau can hit it so far and so forth. And he has been talking about that for years.
I know.
You might remember he introduced that Cayman ball, which didn't fly as far, and it just seems to be falling on deaf ears, decade after decade.
Yeah, and well, yeah. What can we do to, you know, the other question was, how do we set up the courses to make them more difficult? If you can't change the equipment, then what can we do to make the courses so much more difficult? The membership at Winged Foot, they wanted, it was pretty thick rough, right? It looked like salad when it was coming out, when they're scooping, right? They wanted it to be even thicker, taller.
Those are different animals playing in the U.S. Open. What about the rest of us?
And well, only for the U.S. Open. No, you don't have to do it all the time. You just grow it out for the U.S. Open, and then when it's done, you go back to normal.
You think they're playing a different game than the rest of us are playing anyway? And therefore, to ask golf courses to redesign the darn thing when the rest of us will never come near playing a course like that is costly and foolish.
But they don't have to redesign anything, Michael Patrick. All they have to do is let the grass grow. Just grow the rough long. That's all.
I guess, but, you know, then do you want to watch... Here's a good fundamental question. Do you want to watch a tournament that's a birdie fest, or do you want to watch a tournament where the winner doesn't break par?
In the U.S. Open, I want to watch them work as hard as they have to get to that.
Okay.
The U.S. Open, yeah, because they went and they were tough. That was what was the U.S. Open. It was a tough setup, demanding accuracy at all costs. That was, you know, you couldn't just bang it over there and zip it over there and then get into the cup. No, you had to be very, very accurate. So, and then they went and they did these, you know, Erin Hills, lovely golf course, beautiful golf course, I'm sure. But, you know, there was nothing, hey, I can just hit it anywhere I want and I can get back to my destination. It didn't ask of them anything. And now they're getting back to what they did in the old days. Be challenging. Challenge these guys. That's all. And
Erin Hills is already super long as it is. But you know, that one U.S. Open, that's a different kind of golf professionally that we're going to see for the rest of the year, so it's a sort of a one-off kind of a thing. But like, I know that I've heard Jack, and I was with him in a press room when he said, well, let's take the old course at St. Andrews. He says there's no way to lengthen it, and so you, unless you want to tear down buildings in the town. So I guess your solution is the only one, but dude, what do the fans want? That what happens when Bryson DeChambeau gets to Augusta National, starts driving some of the greens? I guess we'll see.
We'll see. We'll see if he can pull that off. That would be interesting, since Augusta National looks nothing like it looks on television. I saw a photograph of Augusta National completely covered in snow. And all I could think of is this one fairway that it goes straight uphill. You'd never know that on TV. It doesn't look like there's anything going uphill. And I was thinking, I wish I could take my sled, because that would be the best run. Can I sled? You know, that was, anyway, Augusta
National.
You're
right.
Yes.
I remember one year it was rainy and sloggy, and old Darren Clark was down there at the 18th tee, and he was in a rain suit, and he was sweating, and he was exhausted, and he was heavier at the time. And you look up 18, that thing is dead uphill to get you back up to the clubhouse area, but it definitely spills up and down all over the place.
It does. It does. And now, American Dunes Golf Course in Grand Haven, Michigan. Did you get to walk the course or see it? What's it like?
Yeah, I sure did. And it's beautiful. It kind of looks a little like Pinehurst in a certain kind of way. And to your point, Mr. Nicklaus had only so many acres to deal with, and he managed, nevertheless, to build a really cool golf course by removing something like, I don't know, hundreds and hundreds, thousands of acres of trees.
Wow.
Not thousands of acres. That's going to be 800 acres of trees is what it's going to be. I got fuzzy math. But the one thing he had to do was open it up in order for the, you know, people to be able to hit the ball. And for the longest time in Michigan, and I don't know, maybe in Hawaii too, the thing used to be, well, we want to play holes where we don't see anybody else on our hole. So in order to do that, you had to carve it through the trees. And but now the conventional wisdom has changed a little bit, and you open up the place. And, you know, it's like, well, when you played the old course, you see people all the time. So it's funny how the moods of people come and go and change. But this is a definite friendly, cool Nicklaus design. And the best part about it that they'll tell you is it's patriotic to come and play there. And they raised a giant flag, and the clubhouse is going to be military themed. And every time you plunk down some money to play there, you're helping someone who's very much in need of an education and a scholarship, having lost their parents to the ultimate sacrifice.
Yeah. It was great seeing the picture of Dan Rooney with Jack Nicklaus and his wife standing, and the flag was there, and raising the flag, massive pole, looked really pretty. And I was wondering where you were. It's like, where's Michael Patrick? He should be in this photograph. It's going to be on my golf show. What's going on?
I got the video of putting the jacket on.
I saw it on Facebook. Yes.
He did a little singing. He sang the Ohio fight song, and I sang the Michigan fight song. And it was just a really cool, 20 minutes or whatever it was with guy who was the greatest of all time. It was just great.
You should share that. Share that segment of the show so that I can share it too.
All right.
Where are you going next?
I'm here in Los Angeles, and I'm headed up to the mountains and then down to San Diego for a couple of days to check out the Mission Bay Resort, which also just reopened after COVID.
Yes.
And the Four Seasons Westlake for one night to see how they're doing. And then back to Michigan after I have a taste of Southern California. I'll wave.
You'll
San
wave.
Diego. Yeah, and you can just wave back from the Hawaiian Islands, because I'm dying to get there too, of course, eventually.
Well, we're looking forward to you being here. It would be great. Great to have
Thank
you from
you
island
much.
To island to island doing your show. The Michigan's Big Show from Hawaii and the Big Island, etc. That would be great. Thank you, Michael Patrick.
Mahalo, and I love you.
I love you. Aloha. The Golf Club is made possible by these great people, the Bayview Golf Course in beautiful Kaneohe. Everybody's guessing because apparently you guys got to go play, okay, Bayview, and check out holes number 9 and 10, because the question is, how many bunkers are on 9? And today we asked, though, how many bunker is on 10? That was a hint for next week. Beautiful Bayview Golf Course in Kaneohe, Oahu's best value in golf, with double-deck driving range, top tracer at each station, socially distanced on the covered range, so no matter what, whether it's boiling hot, you want to be out of the sun, or it's raining, you are covered. On the course, fewer tee times for more room. Have fun at Bayview Golf Course. BayviewHawaii.com. I spend a lot of time at Bayview. Rainer Overhead Door, hiring an installation professional. The number is 676-3667, and they'll train, okay? So give them a call. It's 676-3667. And see the largest garage door designs at HawaiiDoor.com. That's HawaiiDoor.com. Turn your carport into an enclosed garage, or, you know, put a new garage door on so it's spiffy. The old one's getting old. 676-3667. If you've got pain in your back, your neck, your shoulder, your hand, your hips, your feet, your knees, call Dr. Jonathan Carlson. He is double board certified. Double board certified pain specialist from Hawaii. It's Hawaii Pain and Spine Clinic. 452-1379. 452-1379. Aloha Power Equipment's moving sale continues. Shindaiwa and Maruyama up to 25% off. Honda lawnmowers starting at $329. Aloha Power Equipment moving sale at their Waipahu and Sand Island stores. Everything you need to weed it, whack it, mow it, or blow it. And get ready for your staycation. Now, Pili Kai Beach Resort and Kapalua Golf, offering spectacular golf packages, 2 nights, 3 days for two, $525. Includes a round for two at one of the spectacular Kapalua golf courses. Thank you for your mana. We're Radio Golf Club.com. Aloha. I'm Danielle Tucker, the Golf Club.
You've been listening to the award-winning Golf Club Radio Show with Danielle Tucker on the Golf Club Network statewide. Tune in next week and we'll tee it up together only on the Golf Club.
Copyright 2020.